Okay, so this is Kay Hardy interviewing Ree Matthews on the 27th of October 2015 at John Street for the archive project No Fit State. Hello.
Hello.
Now, to start with, can you say where your interest in costume making, that sort of thing, came from? The very first thing.
Well, I did a degree in the Royal Welsh College of Music and Drama in graduated in 2001. That's really where the interest sort of started, I would say.
Did you come from a background that was
I loved art. My mum paints, but she's a nurse, so she's not really. She did a lot of sewing and making costumes when we were kids, dance costumes and things like that. I remember her embroidering and stuff and sitting on her knee and watching her sew. So I suppose that went in at some point.
Did you learn it?
Yeah, she taught me how to sew. She taught me how to make things. And I don't think I really learned how to use a sewing machine, though, until I was in school. Yeah, I love textiles and art. Basically spent all my time in the art room and not in any other subjects, really. So if I went missing in school, that's usually where I was, hiding in the art room, which my teacher was quite happy to encourage. So, yeah. So I went from that to I did my A-levels in art and textiles and English. And then I went to Art Foundation in Mid Glamorgan in Ponty and specialised in textiles, and I actually wanted to do fashion at the time. I was really excited about doing fashion and going to London and, you know, all of that. And my teacher said to me, if you want to earn a living in doing something that you enjoy that's kind of connected to art, then you should go to the Welsh College and do theatre design.
Oh, right,
okay. So I was kind of pushed, really, by my teacher. She could see that I had a flair in costume, I think. At the time, I thought it was more fashion, but she was more keen to get me into costume.
It was really helpful because she said, look, you can make a living, but
yeah,
go down this
but you've
route,
got more of a chance of, you know, doing this. So I went to Welsh College and went for the interview and loved the college, loved everything about it, very practically led. So I went for the interview and got in. There's only 10 of us on the course. Did that for 3 years. And then, really, it was Riley that kind of brought me to the circus.
Okay, so tell us about that then.
It's all Riley's fault. Yeah. Well, I grew up in a small town, which in Lanswick Major, which didn't really have any circuses or any fairs or anything like that. So I'd never been to a circus. And I was 22, I think, when Riley turned up at Welsh College with all his stories about Glastonbury and flying pigs. And
he was there to do...
He was actually a friend of Sean's who was our... he was our year tutor, Sean Crowley. And he was good friends with Riley, and he got him in to build sets for the students and take us off on trips and... you know, just generally look after us and be our mentor in life, I think, more than anything else. Yeah, so he did Tree Tower with us, which was a puppetry project. And he was amazing. He just told us so many exciting stories about the circus and how much fun it can be going to festivals and all this kind of stuff. And I was just like, right, that's it. You've got to take me to the circus. You've got to take me. So we did. He took me to the circus and dropped me off and left me there. There you go. You like the circus so much. There it is. And it was like, it wasn't actually No Fit State. It was a big fun. It was John Paul's circus.
Right.
So, yeah, the children's circus. Yeah. So that was the first kind of encounter, really. They were looking for a costume designer. I'd just graduated. I was kind of bored of theatre. I hadn't been doing it very long, but I was like, there must be something more exciting than this. You know, black box theatre. It's quite dull.
Lots of black clothes, not a lot.
Lots of, yeah, just being in a dark room all day long, and then when you leave, it's dark. It's kind of like, well, there's got to be more to life than this. So, yeah.
So how long did you stay at the first bit of this?
6 months I did with Big Fun. As a costume designer and a set designer, and it didn't take long before they had me painting the livery on the trucks on stilts, which I'd never walked on before, so I'm kind of leaning against the trucks on stilts trying to paint at the same time. And then I was on the trapeze and came back a stilt walker and was hooked on trapeze and just came back, and that's when me and Sarah kind of became really good friends. Yeah, Sarah was going out with Jack and we decided to go on a venture of trying to set up some trapeze classes when we got back. So and then I met Zoe and Gavin. I think they were still together at the time. They'd been off doing acrobatics in Portugal and they'd just done the Marcelo course, so they were all quite excited about circus. And I think we got Jackie over, and then we went on a mission on our bikes to try and find somewhere that we could rig some trapezes and some ropes and start training, because we didn't even have what was the church called?
Ebenezer.
So there was we went on a little journey. We sort of started having classes down the bay and Jackie would come over. And this is before the very first Immortal. So there was the community show down in Butte Park. And that's really when I met everybody to do with No Fit State. That was my first, right. Yeah, I would say.
So what did you do on that?
We did hang about trapeze in cat suits, white cat suits. And
so
we were part of the ensemble. And
costumey side of what you were doing there. I was,
because that was the first time I met Sean.
Sean Donohoe,
which he was the original costume designer for No Fit State, because I was working for Big Fun at the time. So, yeah. And I think Welsh College had provided their space so we could work in there to do all the costumes for the first Immortal. So I was Sean's assistant. And I just thought Sean was amazing. You know, he was just so cool.
Did you learn a lot from him?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so what happens then? What's the next step from there? So you've actually met the No Fit State bunch. You're doing a community show.
Yeah.
Did you just go on to another thing with No Fit State then?
So we carried on with our little mission of doing trapeze classes, and we had the river, was it the riverfront or river, I can't remember what it was called, but it was a building that we'd found in Splott, which was like an old men's working club, and out the back was a bowling alley, but they had really high ceilings,
right.
So we had quite an ongoing thing of classes there that people got word of, and then Kevin was involved, and Kevin McIntosh.
Okay.
So it was me and Zoe and Sarah and Kevin and Lynn Boggers. She came over from, and Gareth came over. They did some teaching, and that's when all the kind of connections started happening, and we had a little thing going on. And then those classes, when they got the church, the Ebenezer Church, those classes just moved straight into there. So that was quite a nice little sort of starting point, really, for it all.
So you sound like you really got into the actual performing or
the
skill side of it, the trapeze and things like that. You actually really...
Yeah, and then I think not long after that, I remember the very first opportunity to go on tour was with the First Immortal and the training scheme. That was the first training scheme that was set up that year to take the tent on tour, and that was as a performer.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I didn't actually start designing for No Fit State until, because Sian, my friend who I was living with at the time, she was a year above me in Welsh College, and she was already out designing shows in costume, but my love really was for set, because I'd done quite a lot of costume and I wanted to do set in college. So it was quite interesting how I ended up going back to costume in the end, because I was performing with No Fit State as I was doing City of Angels and Silks and all the kind of ensemble stuff,
and there was nobody to do wardrobes, so I sort of set up a wardrobe department on tour, and that's kind of what I did. And I just started maintaining.
Why was there nobody doing wardrobe? Sounds odd.
Because they just didn't have all of those things in place at that point.
It was
the very first. It would have been. So I graduated in 2001. I taught for 6 months. Would it have been 2002, the first Immortal, or maybe 2003, somewhere around there? Mm. It was the first time that they'd taken that tent out on a big...
Tent.
It was the silver tent.
The silver tent.
It was the silver tent.
Oh, right.
On a big tour. Mm. With a Forenza show.
Right.
The first Forenza show, basically.
But they didn't have a wardrobe department?
Not as such, no, because they didn't really keep any of the costumes. What costumes they did keep were kind of kept over in Splott, in that warehouse that they had that was kind of had holes in and rain was coming in, so a lot of the costumes were just mouldy and manky and stuff. So what costumes they did have, I sort of saved and kept in my house.
Was it almost like you do your own costume and it's all a bit ad hoc and
well,
thought about much?
I don't know what had happened in previous years. They'd sort of kept bits from previous years, but I think anything that was worth keeping, they probably kept in their own houses, because Ali kept her Queen of Hearts costume. She still got it today because she kept it in her house and looked after it. But anything else that was kept in that warehouse, because it was so damp in there, that I just remember going in and kind of going up the stairs, and there was this kind of wonky rail, and there was some costumes hanging off, and they were all holy and manky, and I was just like, this isn't good.
That'll be why we haven't got many costumes from that era.
That'll be why, because until I turned up and changed the whole thing, I said, right, well, if we haven't got anywhere to put them, I'll put them in my house.
So
I stored all the costumes in my house until they got Ebenezer, and then I moved them over to Ebenezer. But I think I had them for about a year in my house.
Right.
Just because I couldn't bear to see any, you know, been kind of trained to protect and look after costumes.
So you really got into it to rescue. It's a rescue mission.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah. And I've still, all those costumes are still in wardrobe now from the first Immortal.
Right.
I got them. Yeah.
So things it happened I wore as quickly as that. You just went, right, I can do something about this.
It just happened. It just kind of flowed, really. I was really excited about circus. There was this opportunity. I rang up Ali and I said, is there any places on the course? Can I go? And she said, yeah, of course you can. I didn't think that you would want to, because I thought you'd be wanting to do other things, but you can go. You can do it if you want. I couldn't climb a rope or very much else, but I was quite determined. So
when there's a will.
Exactly. So, and it wasn't about that anyway. It was about being Welsh and being, you know, being wanting to be part of that company, which I really, really wanted to do.
Oh, so that's interesting that you bring that side of it up. So you actually felt a kinship or something with the company because of where the roots were.
Yeah. I just thought they were all brilliant. I just thought, these are my people. This is where I belong. That's it. I just love this tent. I remember walking in there and going, oh, yeah, this is where I belong. This is right. I've arrived. Okay, I know what I'm doing now for the rest of my life. That's good. It was because I'd just been kind of wandering around going, oh, God, this is just, all this other stuff I was doing was great, but it was just quite boring.
Like, what were you doing?
I was designing for theatre shows, touring theatre shows, which is admittedly a bit less boring than kind of big theatre shows, but I just didn't get enough out of it, really. And circus, for me, was just so exciting.
Well, what was the, you know, what can you define the difference between the touring theatre shows, which were probably quite exciting for theatre and all that, and then Immortal or something like that?
I think it was the fact that the circus just makes things a bit more on the edge, you know, because people are running around and flying around in the air, whereas theatre's very kind of ground-based and they're all talking and doing and... I don't know, visually, for me, it was much more stimulating. And the music and the live bands and just everything about it, really, just made me buzz.
Mm.
It just gave me a different kind of excitement to to designing a model and then seeing it on the stage was quite nice. But then they kind of have this whole, you know, you can't guarantee that whatever shows, theatre shows you take on, that the story's going to be a good one. Mm. So sometimes it can be quite a boring story. So you've done all this work and they look brilliant and then you sit and watch the show and then you kind of go, you know, it happens quite a lot. And then it's a bit, you kind of get a bit deflated by it. So, but with circus, you just don't. It doesn't even matter what the story is.
Well, you've been
just
doing it
like,
quite a while now. Can you honestly say with no?
I never get bored. No, never get bored.
Yeah.
And the one thing I will say is that Sage was one of my favourite performers, and she just used to make me cry watching her. She just had something. The combination of her and the costume that she wore, and the music that was played, and that in the snow, that whole thing, I never got bored of watching it.
Which show was she in?
She was in Bianco at the end in the snow. Hmm. She just had something that I would always have to watch the end. Even if I was busy doing loads of other things, I would come in at the end and watch Sage. And, you know, it's easy to get, I don't know, kind of jaded, I suppose, with anything, isn't it? And particularly with circus, if you see a lot of it. But there's some things that, you know, you can watch time and time again and never get bored of. And that's, yeah.
So let's go back to, so you did Immortal and you had this breakthrough moment of going, right, I'm here. And so was it kind of you just straight away moved away from the performing and into the costuming or?
No, I did it alongside. I just, everybody had a job on tour. And that's something that I was good at, so I felt that and it was something that was necessary and needed to be done, because I mean we used to hand wash all the costumes in buckets of cold water and hang them all out individually and then iron them all one by one. I mean, you know, and we used to do it at the end of the week. It wasn't done every day like it is now. I mean, that's that system has been put in place by me, but that's over a period of 10 years of going, no, this we need to do this and this and this and this. But before that, we just, the costumes were never washed and everyone just stank. So once a week when we did turnarounds, we would be there with our buckets and our, you know, old-fashioned styly, and everything would be all hanging around my caravan and outside, and we'd be ironing them and fixing them like little tailors. And
the
I loved it.
Would be tipping down.
Yeah, just, you know, that's what we did, because that was our job on tour. That's what, you know, we got on with. And I took a lot of pride in making sure that all the costumes looked good and that they were maintained and everyone didn't have, you know, okay, so we had to gaffer tape their shoes up once in a while, but we did try sewing them up, and because there wasn't a budget, there just wasn't any money.
Ah, right. Well, that,
it just wasn't a budget, you know.
That side of things. So you started then. So it's about 10 years ago, would you say?
Yeah.
So has that evolved? How has that evolved your role there from basically just coming in and using gaffer tape on shoes and
it's been quite a nice. It's actually been quite a nice little journey. It's been a nice journey. I've got photographs of us hand washing costumes in buckets of cold water to, you know, and the development of it. And it's quite nice to look back at that, because as the shows have got bigger and I mean we did a show to 14 people once.
Remember which one?
It was in Birmingham.
Yeah.
And I remember them coming in and saying to us all, okay, well, we'll have a, I think it was Tim, we'll have a cut-off point of audience members, and if there's a certain amount of people, then we'll cancel the show, and if there isn't, then you've got to do the show. And I think it was something like 12 or 13. So if there was more than 12 people, then you had to do the show, and there was 14 people, and we were like, oh God, we've got to do the show, this is ridiculous. But I think a lot of that was if the audience didn't come in, then they didn't sell the tickets, so we didn't have any money, and it was just, yeah, there wasn't any money to pay for new things or washing machines or anything like that. Yeah.
So was there, on touring? I mean, what was life like for you on touring?
Fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I loved it. I felt like this is what I should be doing. I loved performing, I loved the shows and the people and the family and the friends and the kids and just the general, you know, that you could take your dog on tour with you and your kids, and you could all just be one big happy family. And the adrenaline of the shows and at the end was just amazing. It was really, really good. Immortal was brilliant because we were all mates, so we were all, you know, doing a show, and then we'd hang out after the show at the end and have little parties, and it's quite different now. But yeah.